I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo. As the store's owner, I want our clients treated with respect. I want our employees to have extensive product knowledge and be genuinely engaged with our clients. Our pricing is competitive, but our client attention is second to none. When considering a new car, consider Cherry Hill Volvo. Contact me directly. Relationships really do matter to us.
Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
I was amazed when I was talking yesterday to you about the New Jersey legislature thinking that they could pass a law requiring presidential candidates to turn in their tax returns. I was thinking, would they really do this? Would they be so bold and so brazen? And the answer, of course, is yes. Yes, they would, and yes, they could, and that's exactly what they're doing. But they can't, because the Constitution of the United States is very, very clear. The Constitution says what the presidential requirements are, and none of them have to do with the president handing in his tax returns. But again, why not have some fun with it? I mean, why not just figure out all kinds of like presidential candidates have to turn in? How about they have to, turn in the size of their house, like square footage? Maybe make a limit on that, too, while you're at it. You know, nobody who lives in a condo or something like that. What about that? I mean, I don't know about you, but I would not want my neighbor in a condominium association to be the president of the United States. It would be very, very boring for me, so we could ban that rule. Or what if we said that no smokers were allowed to become president? Why not? I mean, a lot of presidents may smoke cigars. Trump doesn't smoke, but, why not? I mean, we'll just say no president may use tobacco, and we'll blood test the president for tobacco. And if the president is using tobacco, then he will no longer be eligible to be president of the United States. And you won't be able to be on the ballot if you fail the New Jersey smoking screening exam or something like that. Why not? I mean, you could do all kinds of things if you want to just be so brazen with the Constitution. But this is the point. Yes, I know President Trump is not going to win New Jersey anyway. I know that. It's a lost cause. It's a blue, blue, horrific, blue, awful state. And I hate it. But it is what it is. And I know he's not going to win it. But that's not the point. The point is a state can't tinker with the U.S. Constitution in this matter. A state can't put extra requirements on the office of president. Like, for example, why not say we think 35 is a ridiculous number? So in our state, you can get on the presidential ballot if you're 25. You can call the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez statute. They could just make it, 25 years old in our state to get on the ballot. Why not? I mean, and then all states can choose their own ages and the Constitution be damned. Who cares? Why not? I think you got to be creative with this stuff. And what is this about? They know that Trump is not going to win New Jersey. So why are they even wasting their time with this? You might be asking, what's the point? Well, the point is they want to have other states do exactly the same thing. And then they want to get everybody talking about, why won't he just turn over the tax returns? What's the big deal? What's the big deal? Just giving the tax returns, everybody's good. Well, what's the problem? And of course, you can argue the point of whether or not a presidential candidate should turn over his tax returns. You can argue whether or not a president should turn over his tax returns. The one thing you can't do is require it. See, that's the difference. Now, the people will decide at the election booth if they want a president to turn over or a presidential candidate to turn over their tax returns. I mean, that's a decision that the voters will make. Nobody's taking that away from them. But what the legislatures are trying to do is to make it a requirement of the candidates that they can't do. So, I mean, if I decide as a New Jersey resident when I go to vote, this guy never turned over his tax returns. I'm furious about that. So I am absolutely 100% not voting for him. That's my right. That's fine. That's up to me, my decision. But if I'm forbidden from voting because the candidate that I want is not on the ballot because the state has created an extra constitutional requirement, that's tyranny by a state right there. That's absolute tyranny. And it's not going to be the first and last state that does this. It might be the first. It won't be the last. I mean, other states have already introduced bills around this. What other states are trying to do, California, among others, is to just get the conversation going. That's all. None of these states, really, a Republican could ever win. None of them. But also, of course, that means then that then the red states could also put in their own requirements. Like, say, for example, you have to actually have a job, like a real job outside of being a politician to get on their ballot. I mean, you would instantly disqualify Cory Booker, Bernie Sanders, Kamala Harris, all the people that have spent their life in government. Well, there was a brief period where Cory Booker was a lawyer. And incidentally enough, when he was mayor of Newark, his firm made out like gangbusters. Go figure how that works, right? The mayor's old law firm, of which he disassociated himself from, happened to make a lot of money while he was mayor of Newark. I mean, just one of those coincidences that they got a lot of city work, but no, and authority work. But again, coincidence. But really, it would almost disqualify everybody if a red state did that. So that's what they should do. Those legislatures should pass a requirement that to get on the ballot in their state, you have to have had a job in the private sector in the last 10 years. You've had to have a job in the private sector because we just don't want career politicians. So that means that you're automatically now pretty much every Democrat running is out of the race, is automatically unable to get on the ballot in those states. I love it. I think it's great. You would then, you know, there's no way Kirsten Gillibrand can get on because she was a congresswoman, then she became a senator. So, no, that's not had a private sector job. Bernie was mayor of a town in Vermont, and then he became senator. So he went from mayor of Burlington, Vermont, to the U.S. Senate. So Bernie's never had a job in the private sector. Somehow's made all this money, four houses, but make that requirement. So now every red state and even swing states, and you would disqualify all of them from getting on the ballot. I'm trying to think of which Democrat. You'd be left with Howard Schultz, who's running as an independent. I mean, Beto O'Rourke, has Beto O'Rourke even had a, he was a congressman. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was a bartender, which is actually private sector, but she doesn't meet the age requirement. So who else? Who's left? Now, of course, states aren't going to do this, but why not? I mean, let's have some fun with this. If you want to play by their own rules, then make a requirement that instantly disqualifies every Democrat. Because I'm trying to think of a Democrat who's had, with the exception of Howard Schultz, who's not running as a Democrat, I'm trying to think of a Democrat who's actually done anything in the private sector in the last decade or ever. And actually, as I look back now, I think I don't know if they've ever done anything in the private sector. 855-839-1210 is the number. 855-839-1210. Have any of these Democrats done anything with their lives besides be on the government payroll at some point? No, I'm thinking. So then, of course, that would mean that Donald Trump would almost walk into the presidency. He would almost walk into it because the electoral votes needed, if he can't get on the blue states, which he's going to lose anyway, and they can't get on the red states, which they may have a chance at. You know, Pennsylvania, for example, swing state. I know Pennsylvania would never go for it. Governor Tom Wolf wouldn't go for that, of course. But, you know, I'm just thinking, time for Republicans in these state legislatures to start fighting back here. Time for them to start fighting back. Because I will tell you that as this gets closer and closer to 2020, more of this nonsense is coming out. There's even a story today the House Democrats may have colluded with the IRS to get the president's tax returns. And none of it matters, because even if he was a tax cheat before he became president, it's irrelevant when he's president. Because the impeachment clause is not about a look-back period. It's not about going back in time and saying, hey, let's find something, let's find anything. Yet that's what they want to do. New Jersey is engaging in tyranny and recklessness and lawlessness, and they know they're not going to win it. And it's stupid, and it's going to be a waste of taxpayer money, but they don't care about your money either. So yes, what will happen is there'll be a lawsuit, and the state of New Jersey will spend lots and lots of taxpayer money in court defending their right to limit a candidate from being on their ballot who hasn't turned over their tax returns. And the lawsuit will cost millions of dollars. The lawyers always win. So one of my preeminent Zioli rules, the lawyers always win. And then the result is they're going to say it's unconstitutional. You can't keep a candidate from being on the ballot. But maybe they'll try to play funny games so that he can't get on the ballot, you know, in time for the filing deadline, which doesn't matter to Democrats anyway. Years ago, for example, when a Democrat dropped out of the race named Robert Torricelli, who was another corrupt, shocking, right? A corrupt Jersey Democrat, was a U.S. senator, ran around. There's a film of him running around a 7-Eleven in North Jersey, chasing a guy. I think the guy was South Korean, Chinese. I forget, but he was an informant. And there's U.S. Senator Torricelli chasing the guy around 7-Eleven, like it's a Benny Hill skit. And they got the guy on tape chasing this guy around. The guy, poor guy's trying to get out of 7-Eleven, and there's a U.S. senator. Only in Jersey does that happen. But then he dropped out of the race because he couldn't win because we became such an unforgiving people. But he did it after the filing deadline. So the Democrats, they changed the filing deadline. So they didn't care. Right? They just make up the rules as they go in the state of New Jersey. When Jim McGreevy outed himself as a gay American, it was only because he was about to be outed as a corrupt American. He was about to be indicted. I mean, most likely Jim McGreevy was going to be indicted. There's this whole thing about some weird Green Acres exchange in Piscataway, New Jersey, and this guy who was bribing the governor had to say a code word, and the governor would say a code word around him. And there's Governor Jim McGreevy of New Jersey saying the word Machiavelli on tape, on federal wire. Chris Christie was U.S. attorney at the time. So they got the governor dead to rights on accepting a bribe. But then he happened, and then he was also being blackmailed at the same time by his gay lover, Golan Cepel. And that's when he gave his big announcement and resigned from office. And he waited till after the filing deadline so that the acting, there could not be a special election. And the Democrat Senate president could remain governor. And they could keep the governor's office. And it's a dirty little trick. But they play all kinds of dirty tricks. So is it any surprise they're playing dirty tricks now with the presidency? Of course not. The state stinks. It always has stunk. But remember something, this is not going to be the first state to do this. This is going to cause a ripple effect among blue states. The correct answer is not, who cares, he wouldn't win it anyway. No, wrong answer. The correct answer is, a state doesn't get to create extra constitutional requirements for their candidates to run for president of the United States of America. President has to be 35 and a U.S. citizen. That's it. And the 10 years and whatever it is. That's it. That's it. But if we're going to go down the road, I like my idea. I like the Zioli Amendment. You cannot get on our state's ballot if you've never held a private sector job. If you've been nothing but a government leech your entire career, sucking off the public's teat, sucking off the public dole, managing to acquire millions of dollars of wealth and houses. If you've done nothing with your life but collect a government paycheck and also take time off to have your law firm collect government money while you're mayor of the city, you cannot get on our state's ballot. We won't let you. You must have worked and generated a profit in the private sector in the last decade. That's my amendment. And I want to see every red state in America pass that amendment, pass that law, pass this law now. We'll fight fire with fire and expose the fact that there's not a single Democrat with private sector experience running for president of the United States of America. 855-839-1210, the Zioli Show, live today from Reading as we await the Dennis Miller and Mark Stein adorable deplorable tour. Don't go away. All right, glad you're with us. 855-839-1210, the Zioli Show on Twitter, at Rich Zioli. The chairman of the Republican Party in New Jersey, Doug Steinhardt, will be here at 4 o'clock. I'll talk to him about the next steps in battling this nonsense, and it really is truly just nonsense. I mean, nothing surprises me anymore in this day and age we live in, but nothing ever surprises me. Maxine Waters is not ready yet to believe the police in the Jussie Smollett case, all right? So she's not ready yet to believe the cops. She was right away ready to believe Jussie. She's not yet ready to believe. Now, she's another one that if she ever ran for president, I don't think Maxine Waters has ever had a job outside of government, ever. Let's start with cut number one, Dan.
I don't think we can at this point make sense of it. There's still some questions that we have, some answers that have to be given. He's a friend. He was at my office. We marched in a pride raid together. He introduced me at Black Girls Rock, and so I believed him when I heard about it. I still don't know all of the details. I'm waiting for the final results of all of this. If in fact it's a hoax, of course I would be disappointed.
But
I'm just hopeful that whatever goes on, and if he finds that he's in trouble, that his life will be changed, then he has to redo it all over again.
What? Redo the whole hoax all over again? Because he got caught? Like, redo it? Like, restage it? Get the Nigerian brothers back? This time, don't write a check? Is that what she means? Just have a redo?
We marched in
a
pride raid together.
What? I think she's talking about a reshoot, like a recut. Sometimes they do that with movies. You know, if the first scene doesn't work out well, they do a reshoot of it. They go, let's try that scene again. That's what she's talking about. Okay, here's how it goes. Nigerian Brothers. Now, instead of MAGA country, MAGA town. It's MAGA town. Chicago's a town. And sing it. Chicago, Chicago, MAGA town. Try it again. Try it again. Is she going to direct this play? I hope so. That could be her job, her first job outside of government. Maxine Waters is a director of the Jussie Smollett redo.
I still don't know all of the details.
Why would you? Well, you can't read a newspaper or watch TV. She's not the only person, by the way. Mark O'Mara presents the possible Smollett defense. Now, this is interesting here. Clearly, this is sleazy lawyer thinking, but go ahead.
All I'm suggesting is for today is I didn't understand the reason for the closing argument already by a prosecutor, because that is another, that's a 2019 perp walk before the court of public opinion, before we ever have any evidence, any discovery whatsoever. Let us wait. Let the process work the way it's supposed to work, and let not only Smollett, but every other person accused enjoy the benefits that we're supposed to give them. And that presumption of innocence was, in fact, destroyed.
What? How is it destroyed? By who? By everybody who went out there and said he was innocent? That said that he was a victim? You mean all those people, like Cory Booker and Kamala Harris and others? See, this is the part of all this that is amazing to me right now, is that he's still the victim. It's still Trump's fault. It's still our fault. It's your fault. It's not his fault, because we live in a day and age now where you don't have to take accountability for your actions. Nobody expects you to be accountable to anyone anymore. If you are in a victim class, if you are someone who is at the losing end of something in society, you don't have to be responsible for anything. You can just simply sit back, and what happens to you happens to you. And then you are then a victim of those circumstances. So for Jussie Smollett, it's an epidemic of what we see in our society right now. A, you get famous by being a victim, right? You go right up to the heap of fame. You're famous on social media. Everybody thinks you're amazing. Then, after that, everybody rallies to your defense. And then after that, you get to be a victim who has to turn his life around and make changes. And then we all watch as you go through rehab, or you go through counseling, or you try to be a better person, blah, blah, blah. And this is like the stages of this in America today. And you see it with celebrities all the time. You know, they do something terrible. First they deny it. Then comes the rehab, the sex rehab, or the alcohol rehab, or in Ben Affleck's case, just life rehab. And then they come out and they're changed, and then they haven't changed anything. But we love this in our society. We love this in our culture. We love when people go through this. So I predict Jussie Smollett will actually be on the talk show circuit. Not this show. I mean the feely talky show circuit. You know, The View and The Chew and The Chat and The Chit Chat, whatever those shows are called during the day. The Chew, I believe, is one of them, if Mario Batali's not in jail. He might be in jail at this point. I don't know. He had some Me Too issues. But that show, and then The View, of course, and then I don't know if maybe a sit-down 60 Minutes, heartfelt. How are you atoning for this? How are you changing your life? How hard has this been on you to have to come to your truth, Jussie? And that's what'll happen. You know it as well as I do. He'll be on the front cover of People magazine. Jussie Smollett, how I've changed, what I've learned. And in that entire period, he will still blame Trump for all of it. And so will everyone interviewing him. There'll be questions like this. How much of Trump's America do you think was responsible for your actions? Do you think at the end of the day it was Trump doing this, acting through your body? Do you ever felt like Trump possessed you? Like at that moment, it was actually Donald Trump coming through and not Jussie Smollett. Tough questions, probing questions like that. Probing questions like, Jussie, when you looked at Trump and families being separated, did that make you want to do this? You know what I mean? They'll lead him down the road of something that they don't like that Trump did. And then they'll ask the question, getting it all primed for their daytime audience to go, oh, well, we can definitely see how this got to him, the poor guy. It's amazing. It really is. But then again, nothing surprises me in this day and age. Van Jones on CNN. This guy's always on CNN, Van Jones. He's always trying to ratchet up to the outrage. It's really amazing here. Cut 3.
I think it's important to point out that some of this stuff was believed. A lot of people thought it was sketchy, but some of this stuff was believed. The Chicago Police Department did itself well yesterday. It has not done well in the past, even recently, you know, reports of a lot of abuse and corruption, that kind of stuff. So Chicago Police Department, you could understand why some people thought, well, I don't trust them. And then also, you know, there has been a rise in hate crimes. There has been a rise in intolerance.
I think
the worst part about this whole thing is that the truth that the Chicago Police Department does have improvements to make, and the truth that hate crimes are on the rise has now been completely obliterated by the potential that this is a hoax.
Right. No, it's definitely the Chicago Police. It definitely is. It's them. They've got to atone for a lot. It's really, it's on them now. This is, again, this is the cult of responsibility. It's funny because, you know, a guy who is in the media texted the following. Okay, this is a Philly Daily News and Philly Inquirer reporter. A fact, the right is talking about Jussie Smollett more now than the left did before it became the Jussie Smollett hoax. Yeah, you're damn right we are. And I'm going to continue talking about it today because the weekend's here. But I'm not going to just let this go away because now the left has decided, oh, now it should go away. Sorry, you don't get to make that decision. No. This guy vilified every Trump supporter in America, vilified every MAGA hat wearing person in America. And it's writ large an examination of the society in which we live now, a society that rewards victimhood, that rewards victimization, and also a society that loves redemption and all of it. And no, just because the left has decided they're done with the Jussie Smollett story, now that they know it's a hoax, now we're all supposed to move on? Sorry, Jason Nark, that's not how it works. Sorry, you don't get to decide that for us. Because I think, for the most part, I can't wait to see the trial. I can't wait to see who he calls up as witnesses. The two Nigerian brothers. I'd like to be the bank teller that cashed the check. The fake hate crime hoax check. That's what I'd like to see. Call that person up on the stand. When you received this fake hate crime hoax check, what did you think at that moment in time? 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. But isn't it interesting, though, how quickly they want us to not talk about it? Right? Jussie Smollett's now, he's the victim here, and move on. Go back to your life and do something else. No, sorry. It's like everything else. I will continue to expose this fraud and all of the other frauds. I laid out a bunch of them for you the other day. We read an entire list of fake hate crimes and fake receipts and fake everything else. And the reason why you have to keep countering this is because people like Van Jones go on TV and say there has been a rise in right-wing hate crimes. And there hasn't. There hasn't. But they keep putting out that narrative. And they're going to continue to put out that narrative. And the best we can do is push back on it. The best we can do is push back. And remind people that, no, this doesn't happen. This isn't true. This is nonsense. Yesterday, USA Today did an in-depth probe. Amazing. Blackface parties, KKK, and mock lynchings. We looked at 900 yearbooks. Racist images were not that hard to find. Ever since the racist Democrat governor of Virginia came out and showed his shoe polish face, now USA Today has decided to go through yearbooks to do an investigative probe of yearbooks to find people in racist pictures. Yeah, no, I know. I don't know how many of them are Democrats and how many of them are Democrat elected officials. I know that if they had found prominent Republicans, they would have been on the front page of the USA Today. That I do know. That's pretty obvious.
Riccioli 3 to 6, Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.